And now another no-brainer money-saving tip from Progressive.
Marcus, what happened?
I was changing my oil and I spilled some on the floor.
Oh, well, use these $50 bills to wipe it up.
Perfect. Got any more?
Yeah, take a couple hundred.
Stop. Instead of using money, use an old rag. And here's a better tip from Progressive on how not to waste money. Don't pay too much for car insurance. Drivers who switch and save could save hundreds. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Potential savings will vary.
All right, y'all. This week, I am chatting with the star of Say Yes to the Dress Atlanta, Lori Allen. And we're just talking about embracing the journey that life brings you on, that you don't usually find the success you're looking for in your 30s, and just some encouragement for how to go after what you want in life, no matter how old you are. Welcome back to another episode of Confessions of a Crappy Christian. I am your host and resident crappy Christian, Blake, and every week I get to have the coolest conversations with incredible people about all the things most Christians are still not sure we're allowed to talk about. So if you've been looking for a place to land with all your crap, and for someone to just be honest about what it looks like to walk through this Christian life, well, you've come to the right place. Pull up a seat, pop in your headphones and tune out your kids, and come hang out with me and a guest for the authentic conversations that you have been looking for.
Lori, hey, thank you so much for coming on the show today.
Thank you for having me. I am so excited to be here. So fun.
Oh my gosh, two super Southern girls on this interview. People are going to be twanging right along with
us. Honey, won't they? They are going to be making fun of us.
They're used to it if they listen normally, so exactly. They'll be fine.
They won't think we're from New York anyway.
Mm-mm. No, that mistake won't be made. Well, I'm so excited to get to have a conversation with you about your crazy, amazing life and your book, Say Yes to What's Next. You are on an incredibly well-known television show, Say Yes to the Dress Atlanta.
Yeah.
And my people are very excited to hear from you, as am I. So tell us just a little bit about yourself and what led to writing your book and what your book's about.
Sure. Well, I've done Say Yes to the Dress Atlanta for 10 years. Can you believe I have filmed that show for 10 years? And, you know, when we started out, we thought, oh, it'll be a few seasons, you know, and, you know, move on. And in fact, I remember the very first day we filmed, the owner of North South Productions came down to our store and he said, Lori, now I don't want you to get disappointed because you're a very nice woman, which was very nice of him to say. He didn't catch me on a bad day that day. But he goes, you're a very nice woman. I don't want for you to be disappointed. He said, like 95% of first seasons of television shows don't make it to the second season.
Wow.
Uh-huh. And I looked at him and I said, but you've never done anything with me before. And you have no idea. I did, honey. It was the Southern coming in me. I said, you have no idea how hard I work. And I will give this 110%. And I said, and I can guarantee you that I'm going to be the longest running television show that you have ever had. And guess who was right?
That's amazing. I love that so much.
Not to let it fail. When he told me that, it made me even more stubborn.
Oh, you know? When you're like, hi, I'll see you in 10 years.
Exactly. Because I'm going to be the longest. You're going to be so sick of me that you can't even stand it.
Yes.
Anyway, so we started filming. We've had been so blessed and had a fabulous time filming Say Yes to the Dress Atlanta. It has been nothing but fun. Some of the brides and their entourages have been a bit testy, but one thing about it is we have remained true to our core values. Monty and I are very best friends, and you see that on the show. I love all the girls I work with. You can tell that on the show. We're a very tight, close-knit group, and I think our honesty and our heart shows through so much on our show, and I think that's why it's been successful.
Absolutely.
So to make a long story short, anyway, let me turn off my phone. My mother's calling me.
Sorry. <You're> good. That is so very
Here's
Southern
my mom.
Of you.
Mom.
Right.
Southern. Anyway,
exactly.
So to make a long story short on how I got started on this book. So I turned 60 last year. You talk about like shocking when you turn 60, like you're like,
Well, we're recording on video and I don't believe you.
Well, so. I am, honey. I can tell you my birth certificate. And so I turned 60. And so suddenly people are like, when are you going to retire? When are you getting ready to close the store? Are you going to quit filming? You know, on and on and on. And I'm thinking, what are you, why? First, why are you asking me this? Number one.
Right.
And number two, I've got a lot of life left to live and a lot of life in me. And, you know, I feel like that I have more to do in this world and I love what I do. I have a complete passion for what I do and there's no way I'm ready to stop. So then I start looking at, you know, advertisements for women over 50, you know, and it's depends. And it,
right.
Yeah. AARP and the mother's got on this sweater and, you know, and the gray hair and she's looking all just like she just rolled out of the haystack. And I'm
right.
Like, this is not right. You know, and it just really fired me up. And I got in the shower one day, I'm washing my hair, and I got madder and madder. I got out of the shower, called my daughter, and I said, I want to write a book. And she's like, okay. My daughter has a marketing agency. And I said, I'm coming up, and we're locking ourselves in a room, and I want to write a book. I want to start a rally cry for women to motivate themselves, you know, to live every last drop of this beautiful life that we have and to really take care of ourselves and to explore our passions. I want to motivate women. And really, when I look back on it, mom's like, or my daughter Molly's like, Mom, you've been doing that your whole life. You know, in the store, you've been motivating the bride. You've been motivating the mother of the bride, the mother of the groom, the aunt, whoever. I'm always like, you know, you're going to be okay. And she's great. And you look wonderful. And it's a natural evolution for me. And so I locked myself in a room with my daughter for 3 days. And anyway, we wrote up the proposal, sent it up to my agent, was bought in no time. So
then,
yeah, we were thrilled to death. So, you know, it's always been a goal of mine. You know, I like to set goals. It's always been a goal of mine to have a book, but a book that inspires other women. You know, I have had, my life has not always been easy. I've had breast cancer. Last season, if you saw last season, I fell flat on my face, slipped on the train of a bridal gown while we were filming on a hardwood floor, and the train matched the floor, and I just smacked on my face. And it was tulle with sequins underneath it, and we were filming the opening, and it just was left out. So anyway, I got on heels and a fitted skirt, and just bam, broke both wrists, broke my nose, and 3 ribs. That was last April. You know, but I'm a fighter like so many women out there are. You know, you've got to dig deep. You've got to have your faith. You've got to realize that you're going to get through this and God's going to guide you through this. So, you know, I want to give that inspiration to others and show that our life's not always a bowl of cherries. It's not going to be, you know.
Right. Well, and I love it. It sounds like it's this book is a culmination of what your life has always been about.
Yes.
You know, and so if you just turned 60, that means that you started the show when you were 50. That's amazing. Like, you know what I mean? There, I think that, so I'm 31, and I think that there are so many people, or let's say women specifically, my age who are starting a dream, and they think we should have arrived by now.
Right. But
you think we should like have it all figured out and like,
no, that ain't going to happen.
We get the pinnacle of our career. And it's so unrealistic. And we do that to ourselves. And you are walking, talking proof that the best things could be 20 years away.
Could totally be. I mean, I really honestly did not. I started my store right out of college. But it didn't take off till I was in my 40s. That's how long I worked at it, cultivating and switching things up and to get it going. But it really, really didn't take off until we started filming Say Yes. We were on national television and, you know, and then it exploded. And, you know, so my best, you know, top years have been in my 50s when all I have had breast cancer and I have fallen on my face, but so many good things have happened to me at that point.
Right. In time.
And some of us, it does take a while to figure out what we want to do. But my main thing here is that we have to always look back and be at peace and live our passion. And I think at this point in time, when life is so noisy around us and we've had all this COVID and don't go here and don't go there and wear a mask and be careful and, you know, and life's been crazy, it's just a great time to reflect, you know, am I happy? Do I want to continue doing what I'm doing? Do I need to try something else? Do I need to take some classes? You never know.
Mm-hmm.
You never know.
Well, and so you started the store right out of, you know, right in your 20s.
Yeah,
but
right out of college.
Even when it got hard and even when it wasn't necessarily achieving the levels of success that you hoped it would, even when you were changing it up and pivoting, you still stuck with it.
Yes.
And I think that that's another disconnect for this generation. And I'm talking about my own generation.
Yeah,
is when things get hard, we think that it's not what we're supposed to be doing instead of having the perseverance to push through.
Yeah.
You know, I'm sure that there were a lot of times that you could have closed up shop.
Oh, and nobody would have cared because I had no customers.
Exactly.
You know,
exactly.
Molly and I were talking about this. Now, my daughter's 37, and she said, Mom, the difference in you and in the difference in my generation now is we don't stick to things like that. We're the throwaway generation. We're going to go here, and we're going to go there, and we're going to go here. And that's not always the best answer, because I think if you feel like in your heart that it's right, and that I really never doubted myself. Never. Mm-hmm. You know, there were times when I'm like, why am I doing this? And, you know, and I'm not making any money doing this. Thank God my husband had a good job. And, you know, I'm barely paying for daycare, and I'm guilty because I'm sending my children to daycare, which that's a whole nother 30 minutes we could spend.
That's a whole different podcast.
I live that life, honey. Mm-hmm. And that's in the book too. You know, how guilty we make ourselves as women. But anyway, so barely paying for daycare, but I stuck with it because it was my dream and I didn't want to give up. I was not going to give up on my dream. Mm-hmm. And to this day, I never would. Never. It would not enter my mind.
No. Well, and I think, you know, there's obviously gray area. There are things that women pursue, and they do get to a point where it's time for a change, or this isn't what they were supposed to be doing.
Right.
But I think what you're saying, that when you said, I never doubted myself,
yeah.
You know, when everybody in the room can be doubting you, but if you know you're where you're supposed to be doing what you're supposed to be doing, even if you are making, I've been there where you're making enough money to pay for somebody else to watch your kid barely so that you can keep chasing this dream.
Yep.
I think that's when a lot of people give up.
I do.
Guilt creeps in, doubt creeps in.
Yes. But I feel like when you're following your passion, you're listening to your heart. Mm-hmm. And when you listen to your heart, you'll continue on. And that's how I want to motivate women, you know, to really look, take this time, because we're all at home more now. Lord, I'm sick of being at home. Mm-hmm. But we're all at home more now. We are having more time here to just stop and have some silence and to listen to our heart and what excites us. You know, do you get up for work every morning and are you excited about going to work? I am. Still am.
Yeah.
And I have lots of problems. Don't think that everything's a rose garden at Bridal Spa Lori. It's not. We have, you know, things run late and so-and-so's changing, you know, canceling their wedding. And there's all kinds of things. But, you know, in the core of it is, do you enjoy what you do?
Yes. And I think that that's another really important distinction, is that it's not going to be all sunshine and rainbows and roses. There are going to be really hard days. There are going to be days where it feels like everything is stacked against you.
Yes. Yeah.
But there's that quote that's, a bad day doesn't mean a bad life.
Exactly. You know, it's just a bad day.
Right.
Just a day. And, you know, we also explore in the book marriage, because you're going to have bad days in your marriage too.
Yeah.
And I see the bride that obsesses over 3 beads loose on her bridal gown. And she's putting on this huge theatrical production. you know, and is she focused on the marriage? The brides that come in, just thrilled to death to get married. She may be, you know, wearing her mother's veil or, you know, sewing a hanky in her skirt. And she's just so happy to be getting married. You know, I think she's the one that's got it right because she wants to get married. It's not exactly the theatrical production. And exactly. So, you know, I see that. We discuss that in the book. We discuss parenting with children.
Okay. So you know how I'm a huge fan of counseling, right? Well, I recently started working with a counselor at Faithful Counseling, and I knew I had to tell you about it. Faithful Counseling is an online Christian counseling network, and it's an incredible solution for people looking to find the help they need. I found the sign-up process to be really straightforward. You answer some questions, and you get matched with a counselor all within 24 hours. After that, you can log into your account at any time and message your counselor, plus scheduling weekly video or phone sessions. The extra bonus is that I found it to be really affordable, and they've extended a discount of 10% off of your first month. All you have to do is head to getfaithful.com/crappychristian to join the other 500,000 people, myself included, who are taking charge of their mental health with the help of an experienced professional. Head to getfaithful.com/crabbychristian for 10% off your first month and to get started. Okay, let's get back to the show.
Mm-hmm. Were you at little ones now, right? What'd you say there?
Yes, three and five.
Okay, so you're at 3 and 5. Mine are grown. So I've been mother of the bride and mother of the groom. You talk about hard, very difficult. We discuss all that and parenting our parents as they age, you know.
I'm sure you see, you said earlier about it being the throwaway generation, and that we have applied that to our marriages.
Totally.
For sure. And so I'm sure you probably have an eye for who's coming in. Uh-huh. Like what's coming in, you know?
I get it. Yeah. I do. I mean, I don't know that I'm always right, but sometimes right. I am. I see her, you know, and I feel bad. I see her two or three times sometimes, you know, and I do feel bad for her. And sometimes I'll say, you know, I'm really, really sorry. And she's like, well, you knew, didn't you? And I don't say anything. I'm not going to say, you know, like I'm ESV, but you can tell. You can tell. Absolutely. You know, when we get too obsessed with three beads, you know, there's something way more going on than three beads.
Absolutely.
And then also in the book, we discuss self-care is the new black. You know, we need to touch on that. We need to touch on that for women that are in their 20s, late 20s, yes. with kids running around, and we're exhausted, and we take no time for ourselves. I've been there. And then as we get older.
Especially if you're trying to build something.
Yes. You're
any
working.
Time or energy that you would have to take care of yourself, you're funneling to
it's
that.
It's out the window. But do we feel good about ourselves? Because feeling good about ourselves, you know, that's what's important. And as we get older, are we still taking, you know, taking time to take care of ourselves? You know, I see all the time the mom that comes in the store for her daughter and she's like, you get her whatever she wants. I want her to have the most fantastic dress. You just dress my baby, you know, I'm so proud. And it's so sweet. And, you know, you can tell she's, you know, maybe going over her budget or whatever, but she does not care because she wants her baby to feel and look fantastic. And then she goes down to get a dress for herself. And where does she go? The sale rack to find the cheapest dress she can possibly find. Why? Because she does not value herself. You know, she's let herself, where is she? You know, she herself has gotten all mixed up in her children and her life and her, you know, and
I'm sure you see a ton of that.
I see it every day, every day.
And so can you trace that? So being a mom and being someone who has built a business, been a mother, then been a mother of the bride, can you trace that back to a decision that you make in your earlier years that helps you not get there?
I think you have to stop and we have to be vocal, you know, like me talking about this. We don't discuss things like this much, you know.
No.
We all just let ourselves go, you know, but we have to be vocal about it. You know, we do not need to feel guilty about taking time for ourselves. You know,
amen.
No matter what it is, whether you need to go get a massage, whether you want to go get your hair done, whatever you do, whether you work out every single day or whatever you do to make yourself feel good, because you're going to be a much better wife, mom,
absolutely,
employee, everything is going to feel more in kilter. You know, it's all going to line.
Put your own oxygen mask on first.
Exactly.
What they tell you on a plane crash, mm-hmm. it should apply to life.
Exactly. Put yours on first, girl.
Put yours on first.
Yeah.
So you talk about shifting and pivoting. You talk about like when life throws you curveballs, taking care of yourself, your marriage. I mean, you really like run the gamut on life, and it's because you didn't feel like this existed for women in your stage of life.
Oh, not at all. Not at all. I feel like no one addresses these issues. Mm-hmm. These are issues fluffed under the rug. You know, we're all just supposed to, as women, take care of our children, work our fingers to the bone, and then go away. You know?
Yep.
No.
You're like, I'm not going anywhere. Uh-uh,
no. And, you know, I look at life, and I give this analogy in the book. I look at life as a cookie, okay? Mm-hmm. And so when you have your children, you've still got at least half that cookie left. But when your children start getting grown, you maybe are down to 3/4 of that cookie down. So this quarter you have left is still a quarter of your life. You know,
right.
What do you want to do with that? I mean, in your final days, do you want to look back and say, you know, that last quarter, that could, yeah, sure didn't do, you know, I didn't do much mm-hmm. with my life. I don't want to be that person.
Well, you won't be.
Oh, I won't. I want to be that person that down to that last crumb, I lived a full and meaningful life, you know, that helped others, that inspired others. And, you know, anybody can inspire anyone. I mean, as a mom,
absolutely.
You can inspire your children.
Absolutely. Well, and I think that there is content that exists like this about taking care of yourself and working hard for my age, for
right.
my generation.
Yeah.
But I think, you know, I have friends that are in their late 40s, early 50s, yep. late 50s, yep. you know, and there is that sense of, well,
yeah, whatever. Let's just drink wine all day and, you know, yeah.
Right. Uh-huh. And I just think it's so incredible and inspiring that, you know, yes, you had been working at this, you know, for years and years and years, but that you really hit your stride when a lot of people kind of like throw in the towel, but are kind of like,
oh, no, you're right. Throw in the towel.
Yeah.
A lot of people would just say, just forget it. I'm going to the beach. You know, Bridals by Lori was a good try. You know, I'm out of here. You know, a lot of people, most people would have actually, but
yeah,
they would have. But mm-hmm. as you know, I hit my stride at 50, you know,
mm-hmm.
and like I said, a lot of bad things happened to me in my 50s too.
Right.
Diagnosed with breast cancer, falling on my face, 9/11. I mean, it was just one thing after the other after that, but you get around it, you know, you figure out how to get around it and work around it, just as we'll all do with this crazy COVID and, you know, all
right.
that stuff. But my stride came later.
And I have to tell you that that inspires me immensely, you know, that because it is kind of what culture tells us. And that the reality is someone, I can't remember who it was. I read somewhere. They were like, they said your 20s is for figuring out what your passion is. Your 30s are for honing it. Your 40s are for doing it. And your 50s are for thriving in it.
Right.
And what, you know, and it continued from there. it continued from there. I can't remember the rest of it.
Uh-huh. But
that if we really had that mindset, so I just really love that you're like, I'm not going anywhere. I'm not going to sit down and shut up. Actually, I'm going to write a book.
Yeah.
And like, I'm going to tell people.
I'm going to get all this off my chest, you know?
Exactly.
I did have, in the opening part of the book, I've had so many women speak to me when I told them about writing the book, you know, and I would be talking to them just like at a dinner party because I love to talk. And I'd be like, you know, I'm writing a book and are your children grown? Yes, they are. We're, you know, kind of getting into that empty nest or they're in college. That's a big, that's a big time too. You know, they're graduating high school. They're going to college. That's when kind of you start feeling a little disconnect with your world. And anyway, they just are, one lady just grabbed me by the hand. I was in Dallas and she's like, speak for me.
Mm.
For me. I mean, I got cold chills from the top of it. I felt so much pressure after that.
Yeah. You know?
But I feel like there's so many women out there that want to discuss this, you know, that want others to listen to them and how they feel, and they want to feel fulfilled. Mm-hmm. And how do we feel fulfilled? You know, that's what we have to figure out. What is your passion and what makes you happy? You know,
yeah.
I'm not saying go out and just divorce your husband tomorrow or anything like that.
No,
not at all. I'm saying just, but you are going to be a much better wife and mother if you find out what makes you happy.
Yeah. And you've made that very clear that it's not go do whatever makes you happy. It's that sometimes the thing that you're passionate about is going to be really hard and you're going to have to stick out hard days, but it's worth it.
Yeah.
And
your
love
passion
that.
Could be right in front of you. You may be living your passion right now and you just don't realize it. Are you appreciating that it's your passion?
Yeah. You know,
it could be right. It could be smacking you in the face. You don't even realize it.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So before we wrap, we have to talk about Say Yes to the Dress just a little bit.
Absolutely. Let's do it.
Just a little bit.
Let's go.
So, okay. Tell me one of like the craziest stories. I know you have to have a ton.
I have so many crazy stories. Lord. Oh my Lord. Okay. One of them. We had a bride that came in and she brought her mother and her sister. Okay. She met the guy online. She had never seen the man or seen a picture of the man. Okay. So we're buying a bridal gown and we're going to walk down the aisle and meet the man and see the man for the very first time at the end of the aisle. Not kidding.
Not kidding. Did you follow up?
They filmed it and they filmed the wedding too. And she had no idea. I mean, somebody could have been standing in for him. She had no idea what she looked like. One thing about our show, I will tell you this. It is 100% reality.
Oh, yeah.
When Monty and I walk upstairs, like people, you'll think, oh, they're faking mad. No, they're mad. I mean, there's no doubt about it.
Oh, yeah. You're like, we don't have to make this up.
We don't have to. They don't have to play. And no. There's cameras all over. Do you hear my dog scratching on the door? Mm-hmm. Chloe. There's cameras all over the store, and I'm thinking, people, there's cameras. They completely forget.
Yeah,
they're so involved in getting this dress and speaking their word and speaking their mind that they completely forget, you know, what that there's cameras and it's going to be aired and you know what they said. It's a crazy.
Hold on 1 second.
Okay.
Sorry about that.
It's okay.
So, last one. What would you say the biggest lesson you've learned in being on national television?
The biggest lesson I've learned in being on national television? Well, it really changes your world. For me personally, it really changed my world. But I think that the best thing someone said to me was you've got to remain true to yourself. You've always got to be yourself and say what you say on reality television. It's not scripted. So, you know, you need to, it's not going to be successful unless you're you.
Right. And
so, you know, like
and
Monty and
that.
I could not fake being best friends. I mean, we talk 5-6 times a day, every single day. You know, that's not something that you can pretend. So you've got to be true to yourself and you've got to be you. I think that's, you know, my best advice. It's just, and what a wild ride. I never in a million years, I am no actress, obviously. And I never in a million years thought we would be on as long as we've been on, but you know.
Yes, you did.
But yeah, I did. Yeah, you're right. I did know we would be on as long as we would be on, but I didn't, if I look back 20 years ago, I didn't think I'd be on television. You know,
absolutely.
I did.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, I love it so much. I can't wait. I just got a digital copy of Say Yes to What's Next, so I can't wait to read it.
Oh,
I have it on my
you.
Kindle.
I can't wait for you to read it.
Tell people where they can get a copy of it and where they can follow along with you.
Sure. If you'll go to LoriAllen.com, you can order the book right off there. It links you to all Barnes & Noble and Amazon and all those sort of places. The book comes out July 14th.
Yes.
So I'm really excited. I'm going to have a busy July.
Yes.
But I'm so excited. I mean, it's really been a dream of mine to write a book. And I just feel like right now the title is so relevant for all of us.
Absolutely.
I mean, it's just spot on. We all need to be looking at our what's next. You know, we mm-hmm. everybody, all women. So
yes.
I'm just super excited about it.
Well, I'm so excited for you. And thank you. I know it's going to do so well. And like that woman said, you're speaking for an entire group of women.
I
think that that's, mm-hmm. and you're speaking for them, and you're speaking to a lot of us who are coming up behind you.
Exactly.
That need to learn these things now.
So we can be your example to follow.
Exactly.
You know, that's what we need to be. We need to be the generation that says, hey, it's okay to go take care of yourself. And it's our right to do that, you know, and it's okay to follow your passion. Absolutely. We need to set the example.
Oh, I love it so much.
Well,
thank you. Thank you so much. This was such a great conversation.
Oh, so fun. Thanks for having me.
All right. That's it for this week. Thanks for tuning in to another episode of the Crappy Christian Podcast. And hey, by the way, if you super loved it, can you go leave a 5-star review wherever you're listening? That'd be awesome. All right. See you next week.